Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For all you elk hunters out there, chasing turkeys is basically the same thing. I know the reaction you just gave me, but don't knock it till you try it, and don't try it without OnX. The Hunt app will not only help you find new areas on public ground, but I use it to find out landowner info to get permission on private ground that I see birds on as well. OnX Hunt has a special offer for you. Use code CAL to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt and find more birds this spring. Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit seafoamworks.com to learn more. That's seafoamworks.com to learn more.
From Meat Eater's World News Headquarters in Bozeman, Montana, this is Cal's Week in Review with Ryan Cal Callahan. Now, here's Cal.
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem has been catching flack on social media after she admitted to shooting and killing a hunting dog 20 years ago. The story appears in her forthcoming book and was first reported by the British outlet The Guardian. Noem owned a wired-haired pointer named Cricket, which she says was untrainable, dangerous, and worthless. She says she took him on a pheasant hunt, which the 14-month-old Cricket spent running around the fields not being helpful at all. On the way home, the dog escaped the family truck and killed a few of the neighbor's chickens. Then, when Noem tried to grab it, she says the dog spun around to bite her. Quote, I hated that dog. At that moment, I realized I had to put her down. So she took the dog out to a gravel pit and shot it. Just for good measure, she also brought one of the family's goats that had been chasing her kids. That's Noem's kids, not the goat's kids, which are, you know, goat kids or kids. And anyway, she shot the goat too, which she called stinky and nasty. The executions were witnessed by a group of construction workers, but she says completed the unpleasant task before the school bus rolled up. When one of Noem's daughters arrived home, Noem said she looked around confused, asking what had happened to Cricket. As you might imagine, Democrats have been using the anecdote to go after Noem, who is reportedly on the short list to be President Trump's running mate. Democratic governors throughout the country have taken to Twitter to share photos of their dogs. And the Democratic National Committee published a press release claiming to be the Dogmocratic Party. For her part, Noem says the incident proves she's willing to make the tough decisions and do the uncomfortable things other leaders aren't willing to do. We love animals, but tough decisions like this happen all the time on a farm, she said on Twitter. I have never passed on my responsibilities to anyone else to handle. Even if it's hard and painful, I followed the law and was being a responsible parent, dog owner, and neighbor. Whatever you think about putting a dog down the old-fashioned way, I don't think most people would brag about it in their autobiography. This should go without saying, but being responsible for an animal doesn't just mean knowing when to kill it. It means taking actual responsibility for its behavior. I know ranchers do this kind of thing all the time. It's also part of like gun dog culture that, you know, I think in a lot of areas is fairly antiquated, all of which is kind of wrapped in sentimental thoughts, right? If that dog was really trying to bite her after going on the killing spree, then you kind of get in this weird area of like trying to pass off a horse that bucks everybody off, right? You can't really sell it. It's a big liability, but some people try to. A lot of people just put that horse down because they know eventually it's going to hurt somebody. Dogs who bite people, you're passing on a big liability that could have some real serious social repercussions on that person and their pocketbook or even, you know, emotional and psychological scarring on behalf of some bystander one day. Hard to justify something when you're not there. I mean, that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to let you know that being a responsible animal owner can have some tricky, unforeseen decisions that we got to make every once in a while. I'll tell you, when the big fish, past super, super awesome bird dog of mine, was getting old, I shot her. And it was horrible. Horrible experience. It was the absolute right decision. She was having these super debilitating seizures. She couldn't walk a couple of steps without going into a big seizure. So, yeah, I was out at my buddy's farm, dug a hole with the backhoe, and the next time she had a seizure, I shot her, and it was shitty. It was terrible. But in that circumstance, you know, that was just like the right thing to do. I didn't want to transport her to a vet and prolong the inevitable just to get her to a place where she hated being in a vet and filled with anxiety and all that stuff. And that could have been the wrong decision on my part, but that's what happened. So feel free to write in. Let me know what you think. It's a nasty old world out there. This week, we've got Washington Wildlife Commission, the Atlas, the big old world, cicadas, and so much more. But first, I'm going to tell you about my week. My week kicked off, you know, just fine. We went and down to Missoula, Montana, hit the Hellgate Hunters and Anglers Banquet, had a great time, seeing a bunch of old friends down there. They put on a good show, I think raised some cash for an awesome local hook and bullet there in Missoula County. On top of that, got a little turkey hunting in, first real turkey hunting of the season, which was seriously delayed. Found some birds, public land, real tough, real thick, got in real close, had a great time, no white meat in the freezer. And then hopped another flight down to Salt Lake City to join the rest of the Meat Eater crew on our international world tour, live event, live podcast, new cookbook release, extravaganza. It's the only international event conveniently held here in the lower 48. Lots of fun. Salt Lake City crowd was great. Great turnout. People were pumped. It was great to see everybody. We got some good conservation talk in. And now we're sitting here in Boise, Idaho, getting ready to walk into the Egyptian Theater, do her all over again with a brand new crowd and some brand new material. Yeah, it's good. As fun as this is, definitely looking forward to getting back out after turkeys, getting serious in the great out of doors. So, for everybody who's come out to a live show, thank you so much. It's, you know, it's your time and cash, and you spent it to come out and see us, and I hope you had a great time. We're very, very appreciative of you being out there, because it's one of the few chances we get to get out and see everybody. So I really appreciate it, and big thanks to the Hushin crew, or several members of the Hushin crew, Casey and old B-Mac, for coming out to Salt Lake City. It's great seeing those guys. They do awesome stuff. If you don't know those guys, you can always check out their YouTube channel, Hushin. They do a lot of fun stuff, so check them out. All right, moving on to the governance desk. The Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission had one of their spiciest meetings to date last week as commissioners voted to restrict cougar hunting in the state. And when I say spicy, I'm talking open hostility in a public forum. As far as Wildlife Commission meetings go, this one had some serious entertainment value. The commission was considering a petition submitted last year by our friends over at the Humane Society and the Center for Biological Diversity. These protectionist groups claim that the current rules governing cougar hunting are based on politics, not science, and that hunters are killing cougars beyond what the population can sustain. 5 of the 9 commissioners apparently agree with that assessment. They voted to submit a proposal to the Fish and Wildlife Department that could significantly reduce cougar hunting opportunities. Basically, these new rules would make it much easier for each population management unit, or PMU, to reach its mountain lion mortality quota. Once these quotas are reached, hunting in that PMU is closed even if a hunter still has an unused tag. One of the rules would count all lions above 18 months old towards the quota. The current cutoff is 24 months, meaning more lions will be counted each year. What's more, the proposal states that all human-related lion mortality would count towards the cap, not just those harvested by hunters. So, if a PMU has a bunch of lions that kill livestock, and those lions are killed by aphis, or lions get hit on the interstate or the highway, that PMU might not ever get open to hunting. Another of the proposals would allow managers to close a PMU to hunting prior to the cap being reached if they're worried about disease or, quote, any other issue affecting cougar populations. If that doesn't sound like sound science, I don't know what does. To be clear, this is just a proposal. The commission voted to send these new rules to the Fish and Wildlife Department, who will craft specific rules based on this proposal and offer additional recommendations. But you can see why some of the commissioners were upset. Commissioner Molly Linville, who represents Eastern Washington, said she'd been completely disregarded by the five commissioners who want to restrict lion hunting in the state.
I would implore us to think and ask ourselves, is this going to build trust with the public, or is this going to cause a firestorm that we are about to step into? And I believe that this is going to cause a firestorm. And for the first time, I'm going to really, really understand why the public doesn't trust us.
And it wasn't just commissioners. The director of the Fish and Wildlife Department, Kelly Suswind, said he couldn't believe the commission was about to vote on a rule he claimed they'd just come up with at lunch.
These are exactly the kind of things that deserve a better process, to me. And we're trying to do this in one meeting. And yes, it's just the start. Could I finish, please, for once? You've done this many times, Commissioner Smith.
But this is our deliberation.
I believe I was called on by the chair. I believe I have the opportunity to speak. I'm the representative for the agency. This is part of the problem. You're trying to go your direction, despite where the agency wants to go. And if we don't say what you want to hear, you don't want to hear from us. This is a problem.
See? Spicy. The silver lining here is that Washington State mountain lion hunters have time to weigh in. The commission wants to pass these new rules before this year's lion hunting season. But the Fish and Wildlife Department still has to prepare an official proposal, and then the commission can decide to approve, reject, or amend it. To get involved, send a note to the commission, and we'll post a link at askcal@themeateater.com, where you can contact wdfw.wa.gov/about/commission/contact. This is an ongoing trend in America where, for whatever reason, there's a lot of power in suggesting the science is wrong without having to prove it or prove that the current science isn't meeting biological objectives. It's a bizarro world we're starting to live in, folks. So be involved, be respectful, but be engaged. Got it? Got it. A lot of people think that getting life insurance means you're insuring yourself for yourself, but it's actually the exact opposite. It's insuring yourself for your family. So if something happens to me and I'm not around anymore, I can have more peace of mind that my family can have some financial support. And that's where Fabric by Gerber Life comes in. More than once in my life, my journey, people have described me as an independent person. And that's how I want to stay, even when I'm dead. That's how I want to be remembered. That's why I have life insurance. Fabric by Gerber Life is term life insurance you can get done right here, right now. You could be covered from your couch in under 10 minutes with no health exam required. If you've got kids, and especially if you're young and healthy, the time to lock in low rates is now. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/cal. That's meetfabric.com/cal. M-E-E-T, fabric.com/cal. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company, not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there, because they're great and they're super friendly, and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. OReillyAuto.com/meateater. Pay attention here because this is a hell of a good service. It's called the Wellness Company. Picture this, okay? You wake up, you got a scratchy throat, you're all congested, you got a runny nose, you got a cough, whatever. And you weigh your options like you tough it out, get sick, take time off work, try to get a doctor's appointment sometime in the next few months, wait 2 hours at urgent care and sit in a room full of six sick folks, or you open your medical emergency kit. You match your symptoms to the doctor recommended prescription and you start on the right meds right away. These medical emergency kits, not a first aid kit, all right? It comes with doctor prescribed meds to treat over 39 medical issues. So, on hand, strong antibiotics for infections of all types. Plus, a doctor's easy guide so you know exactly what to take and when. No waiting to see the doctor, no waiting at the pharmacy. It's all in there. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes. Your kit will be rushed to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/meateater, but you got to use the promo code meateater. That's promo code meateater, okay, at twc.health/meateater.
Moving on to the map desk.
I'm the map, I'm the map, I'm the map!
The Biden administration has finally released the long-awaited Conservation Atlas. The interactive map can be accessed for free on conservation.gov, and it includes a huge amount of information on the conservation status of lands and waters in the U.S. Conservationists have been waiting for this information since the administration launched the America the Beautiful initiative in 2021, also called Biden's 30 by 30 plan. The overarching goal was to conserve 30% of land and water in the United States by the year 2030. The question, of course, is what kinds of landscapes count as conserved? The American Conservation and Stewardship Atlas was supposed to give us some insight into that question. The purpose of the map, according to the White House, is to, quote, help inform and inspire land, water, and wildlife conservation and restoration efforts of individuals, land managers, policymakers, and communities. You can toggle through various layers on the map to see conservation projects, protected areas, land under the Conservation Reserve Program, and ungulate migration corridors, to name just a few. However, there are still some gaps. There's no easy way to see exactly how close we are to reaching that 30% goal, though the White House did offer some top-line numbers in their press release. They say the U.S. is on track to meet, but has not yet met the goal of protecting, conserving, or restoring 30% of the land. But they do acknowledge that about one-third of U.S. marine areas are currently conserved in marine protected areas. By my count, that means we're 6 years ahead of schedule when it comes to oceans and waterways. I'm sure we'll be coming back to this topic in the coming months. For now, you should come check out the map for yourself. Just go to conservation.gov and click on the button for the map. It's fun to see all the various conservation projects and areas in your neck of the woods, and you might find things that surprise you. If you do, be sure to let us know at AskCal@TheMeatEater.com. Moving on to the urine desk. Did you know that cicadas pee? Well, they do, and now you have a great icebreaker for your next date. Let me explain. A few weeks ago, I told you that two broods of cicadas are set to hatch this year, which will blanket parts of the Midwest and South with large, loud insects. That's going to give scientists an opportunity to continue to study cicadas, but Meat Eater's Corinne Schneider sent me a study that's already been done on cicadas in Peru. There, researchers documented a surprising fact: cicadas pee in jets rather than in droplets. This is surprising because most other insects pee in droplets. They aren't large enough to rely on gravity and inertia to empty their bladders, and sending out a stream of excretion would take too much energy. In fact, scientists have even developed a rule and dubbed it the law of urination. If you're a mammal that weighs more than 6 or 7 pounds, you pee in a jet, and it takes about 21 seconds to empty your bladder. Smaller critters, on the other hand, along with men over the age of 65, usually pee in droplets. But cicadas break this law. They only weigh about as much as a dime, but they send out a stream of clear liquid straight out behind them. The researchers who authored this study discovered this fact in much the same way Isaac Newton discovered gravity. They were standing under a tree filled with cicadas when one of them noticed it was raining. That rain turned out to be cicada pee, and the team of biologists rushed over to document the phenomenon before the bugs flew away. Sounds like a wild crowd of folks to hang out with, doesn't it? Scientists don't understand the mechanism cicadas use to achieve this feat, but they're excited to learn more. Researchers who study fluid dynamics told NPR that studying cicadas could offer a window into how to manipulate fluids at small scales. This could be relevant to everything from 3D printing to drug delivery to disease diagnostics. So, the next time you're at the bar and you need to take a leak, you can hit her with a dope animal fact. Something like, speaking of taking a leak, you wouldn't believe what I just heard about cicadas. That'll be a winner, folks. You can thank me later. You educated pursuers of love, you. Anyway, moving on to the legislative desk. I know I got a bad legislation! And it isn't just talk, talk, talk. The Texas Parks and Wildlife Department is seeking public comment on two proposals that would begin to regulate mountain lion hunting in the state. One of the proposals would ban so-called canned hunts. These are hunts where a lion is captured and later released for the purpose of hunting. The other proposal would require trappers to check mountain lion traps every 36 hours unless those traps are immediately lethal or cannot restrain a lion. Under the current system, mountain lion hunting and trapping is not regulated at all. These changes would mark the first of what could be more restrictions in the future. Listener Jim Lane wrote in to tell me about a new Forest Service rule that bans prairie dog hunting in parts of South Dakota. The service issued the rule because they say that prairie dog hunting will threaten black-footed ferrets, which are endangered. The permanent ban covers about 125 square miles of Buffalo Gap National Grassland in southwestern South Dakota. The rest of the nearly 1,000 square mile national grasslands remains open to prairie dog hunters, and the order does not impact recreational shooting or hunting on private and state land. Jim mentioned in his email that he was antelope hunting in South Dakota in the early 1980s when he said he spotted a ferret. He asked a rancher about it, and the rancher said the ferrets have always been there, but that he shouldn't tell anybody. I don't think anyone could deny that black-footed ferrets are endangered, but nature does have a way of evading even our best attempts to control and catalog it. New Jersey is asking for public input on significant changes to deer hunting regulations. New Jersey deer hunters are being asked to take an online survey, and we'll put a link to that survey at themeateater.com/Cal. Thanks to listener Anthony Privatera for making us aware of that opportunity to influence the future of deer hunting in the Garden State. Jumping north of the border, a few weeks ago I told you about a proposal that would institute a spring black bear hunt in Nova Scotia. The Department of Natural Resources and Renewables asked residents to take an online survey about the hunt, and the results weren't what hunters were hoping for. 51% of respondents said they opposed the hunt, while only 47% supported it. So even though provisional biologists say the bear population is healthy, and Nova Scotia is the only province in the country that has a black bear population but no spring hunt, officials decided to nix it. One of these officials told the CBC, quote, "We deemed that there was sufficient opposition to it and that it wasn't the right time to move forward with that this spring. I'm glad to see an entire Canadian province is making wildlife management decisions based on the results of a super-duper scientific online survey. Good work." Listener Levi Hart wrote in to tell me about a citizen resolution that will be considered at the Wisconsin Conservation Congress this spring that would ban the use of LiveScope and 360-degree imaging on Wisconsin waters. The resolution argues that these devices make fishing too easy, which will eventually lead to decreased bag limits. Granted, you still have to catch the fish, the resolution admits, but it makes getting on them easy. These electronics greatly reduce fish populations, which will eventually lead to reduced daily limits. Continually reducing limits could result in less people buying a fishing license. I'm not sure how much evidence there is that these devices actually reduce fish populations, but Wisconsin residents will have a chance to weigh in this spring. I think this one's a stretch, but I'm super interested in it because, man, technology makes stuff easier. And one of the things I love about my hunting and fishing is that it's not easy. Moving on to the cat desk. I couldn't end today's episode without mentioning something that crossed my desk a few days ago. The Canadian Broadcasting Company recently released a documentary featuring a type of cat collar whose makers say their product can reduce bird deaths by as much as 87%. The documentary is called, appropriately enough, My Pet Assassin, and it covers cat predation on native birds in British Columbia. Part of the documentary discusses solutions to this problem, one of which are cat collars from a company called Birds Be Safe. These collars look a bit like the scrunchies women use to tie up their hair, but they're colored like rainbows and flared out about 2 inches around a cat's neck. The cats end up looking like a cross between a clown and a 17th century French courtier. It's hilarious, and the cats in the photos look less than pleased, which pleases me. The idea is that since songbirds' eyes are adapted to see bright colors, they'll see the cat coming long before it has a chance to pounce. But the collar still allows the cat to hunt mice and rodents since it doesn't make any noise and rats don't have the same eyesight as birds. Of course, keeping a cat indoors is still the best solution, both for the cat and for native wildlife. But if you have a relative who insists on having a barn cat to keep the rodent population in check, this might be a decent compromise. That's all I've got for you this week. Thank you so much for listening. Remember to write in to ASKCAL, that's AskCal, at themeateater.com, and let me know what's going on in your neck of the woods. On top of that, gang, we'll keep these special drops rolling, the 2 episodes a week. So if you want to hear from someone in particular, or a group in particular, or if you would like more time spent on a specific topic in that interview format, please just write in and let us know. We're always eager to learn, and we appreciate it when you are too. All right, gang. Thanks a bunch. I'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. Go outside. Stay tick-free.
Hey, everybody knows Weber Grills. I've been using Weber Grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today.